welcome to the Entrepreneur Podcast. I just start by saying thank you so much. The last podcast, with Mr. Craig Juice is officially the most listened to podcast since starting this. The figures are just like off the charts, man. So thank you so much for the support. Please make sure that you like, subscribe, and share the podcast. The intention of this pod is to help entrepreneurs build their businesses through other entrepreneurs' stories, their self-made stories, and how they did it, how they got there. People that have been doing it for 30, 40, 50 years. They can teach you how to be successful. And today's guest is absolutely no different because his name is Steve Cody. Over 40 years as an entrepreneur, his journey, entrepreneurial journey, began back when he was 15 years old with just $1,200, which is amazing. I can't wait to hear it from the horse's mouth, so to speak. He's also an investor, co-founder at Bunking.com and at MarketplaceStudio.io. All right, Steve Cody coming up on the Entrepreneur Podcast, Self-Made Stories, next. This is the Entrepreneur Podcast, and it is essentially focused on entrepreneurs that have been doing this for a long, long time and their stories, self-made people. Now, Steve Cody is an investor co-founder at Bunking.com, also at Marketplace.io, but his journey started way back when, as your website says, Steve. When you were 15 years old with just $1,200, a squeegee, a bucket, and a dream. Literally, those are the first couple things that I saw on your website, which immediately I thought, this is how I have to start the interview. Steve, how did you get from there to where you are today?
All right. Well, thanks very much for having me on. Yeah. So, I mean, it's very dyslexic. So school was not for me. My grandfather had put, it was $10 a month in the bank for me to, he was saving it up so I could go to university. In grade 10, I met this guy. He was a window washer. I knew nothing about window cleaning. He was just telling me how busy he was cleaning windows. And so I went to my grandfather and I said, you know, at that time there was $1,200 that had built up for me to go to university. And I asked him, I said, can I take that and, you know, basically use it to buy a squeegee, a bucket, and a ladder and start a window cleaning company? He was pretty insistent that I go to university, but my grandmother told him to give me the money, and off I went. So that was kind of the that was the beginning of my entrepreneurial journey. I left high school in grade 10, and
and you went from there. So do you think, I mean, it's an interesting thing because I remember what I was doing when I was, you know, 17, 18 years old. I also didn't go to university, but I wanted to get into broadcasting and that kind of thing. But I didn't necessarily want to become an entrepreneur. Do you think entrepreneurs are born or made?
You know what? For me, like, it wasn't at the time. Like, you're not thinking I'm becoming an entrepreneur. Like, you're just thinking, like, I need to make some money. I need to live. I had a podcast. I did one just the other day with a lady who had been, she had a 17, well, she went to university, had a degree, 17-year corporate career, and then just quit it all one day to become an entrepreneur. So, yeah, I don't know. Like, a lot of it, is, I think, is just around necessity, right? And I think the less you have to lose, the easier it is to become an entrepreneur. So, you know, again, talking to a guy just a couple hours ago, they had a great tech idea that we did all the design thinking for them and all that. And his partner was a consultant, makes about $300,000 a year, and he was just too scared to leave that to start the company at the end of the day. Those were golden handcuffs that he had that he couldn't shake.
These days, the word entrepreneur is almost, it's become like a cool thing. It's probably overused. As you say, it's like, I need to make money. I don't have a job. Let me get a squeegee, a bucket, and go wash some windows.
Yeah.
I get it.
Exactly. Is that a window washer or an entrepreneur? I don't know.
I love it. But I mean, like, since then, that's years and years ago. That's over 35, 40 years ago, whatever it is. I mean, you've built major businesses. Some of the companies that you've been involved in generated over $750 million in lifetime sales. You're involved in so many different companies. How do you get from where you started to where you are now?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a journey. And I don't think it was a planned journey, that's for sure. You know, you go from, I think we've done like about 21 businesses now, and 4 have failed, I believe. So they're listed on the website.
Good odds.
You know, And to me, I think that's kind of the most, 11 of them have been in business for more than 20 years. And I think that's kind of what I'm most proud of is, that fact. And in terms of, just being able to build a company with a solid foundation. Yeah.
And so many different industries as well, Steve. You know, like one of the first things that I was told when I first got into business was, find your niche, find that one thing or, that specific thing that you can really nail down on. Don't try and sell, all things to all people. But I mean, it's interesting that you've gotten involved in a lot of different kind of, business from, rentals, heavy equipment, software, now the marketplace studio. So what is your niche?
I think it's creating. Mm. I think some entrepreneurs love to create. I think a lot like an artist with a blank canvas, creating a painting.
Yeah.
Entrepreneurs, it can be very much the same thing. There's some entrepreneurs that are just driven by making money. I think I'm more the creative type. So I like to create these businesses, create opportunities for other people. Just to see them like 20 years later and, they're still around. I don't know. That's like a pretty good feeling for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't know that I have a niche. It's really, I'm just looking to solve problems. Every personal problem I have, I like to turn it into a business. Like we've got one now, we're starting another marketplace. It's called Helping Companions.
Yes.
And that's around, we were going to go to Costa Rica long term, and I was worried about my mother, if she'd be lonely and how would she cope. And I kind of put that together with anybody you talk to that, maybe it's a plumber that does work at a senior's person's home, and they end up saying, Jesus, all the person really wanted to do was talk. So I'm like, well, why don't we start a company around companionship for seniors? And that's where that idea comes from. So
We started
a mobile auto detailing business. My wife was always mad because I could never, I never had time to get the car detailed. So I kind of said, well, maybe we just solve that problem and do a mobile auto detailing business. And that way the detailer come to us.
I love that. Yeah. I like that a lot. And, I like the fact that when you hit a certain kind of level, I guess, at entrepreneurship, you're able to solve problems that, maybe in the past you wouldn't have been able to, just because you have access to systems and maybe some cash and ability. And you just say, well, just like you said, there's a problem, I can solve it. And I think I'm gonna, I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty much what we do.
Yep. And Steve, so you're an investor as well, but before that, let's talk a little bit about bunking.com and at marketplace.io in particular. Who's your market? Who are you trying to reach here?
Well, with bunking, it really started with my son and daughter. So we're in Ottawa. They were going to go to Tofino for 3 months. They were going to work from there, live from there, do whatever, until they found out how much it was to rent a place. They couldn't afford it, on a kind of month-to-month basis for 3 months. It was the prices were crazy. So I suggested, I said, well, why don't you rent it? And then, rent out the rooms, the extra rooms, spots on the floor, the couch, whatever you can, get a bunch of people living there with you. And, you get enough people, you might live for free. And then my daughter's like, okay, well, what about axe murders and how are people going to pay? And so that was the big concern.
Yeah.
And when we looked around for like, is there a safe way to, stay with strangers overnight? And we couldn't find anything. And she's a TikTok influencer, and she started saying, well, if I'm going to live with strangers, I want to live with other TikTokers. That way I could, collaborate and learn and things like that. And my son, he's a product manager. He's like, hang on a second. Like, if I'm going to live with strangers for 3 months, I want him to be from software development because I don't have an office to go to. So I'd like to learn and whatnot. And so you kind of put it together. Like, number one, they couldn't afford to travel. Even two people couldn't afford it. There was a safety issue, and then there was this desire to connect with like-minded people, and that's where Bunking was born. So it's a platform where we, allow strangers to come together for shared travel, basically. It could be a retreat, could be a safari, can be anything like that. And you can even, as a host, you can say, everybody has to have a criminal background check done before they can join. They can do that on Bunking.
Yeah, great idea.
Yeah, that's where that was born. And then Marketplace Studios was, we didn't want to go out and have to raise a bunch of money. So I thought, well, if we can start a company that builds marketplaces for other people, it'll do two things. It'll make us better at building marketplaces, and we can use that money to fund bunking. So that's really why we started Marketplace Studios.
Very clever. Very, very clever. Tell me a little bit about your investment side of the business. Is this something, you know, that's a part of your business, or is it something that you do on a personal level, or kind of a little bit of both? And the second part of my question is, what kinds of businesses are you looking to invest in?
You know, a lot of it is, so it's, I mean, a lot of them are our own companies or companies that we're very much involved with or companies that come through Marketplace Studios. So it's not, don't really get involved in random investments.
You're like not a venture capitalist or anything, yeah.
No, I don't really get into that.
Got you.
We're really focused on, there's two categories that we really like. So one is, like, if you think about the environment and, you know, what companies can impact the environment. So rentals is a great one. We just started the Rent Anything store, which is an online marketplace to rent your stuff.
I love that.
That has a huge impact on the environment, right? So instead of all of us going out and buying canoes, you know, one person can buy it and share it with a bunch of people. So so we like anything and like that circular economy, you know, we think if we look at the overall economy, we're kind of worried about where it's heading. So we think there's an opportunity for people to save money and make money with the Rent Anything store. And then the loneliness economy. So bunking is a lot to do with that. So it's helping people to connect. If you think about helping companions, right? That's all around kind of the loneliness economy, if you want to call it that. So those are the kind of areas we're focused in, like, and mostly to do with marketplaces. Because if you look at our lives now, a lot of what we consume comes from a marketplace. Yeah. And we just like that the economy is just going there more and more, and it democratizes a lot of things. Makes things more accessible. So yeah, that's what we focus on.
It sounds interesting. How do you stay focused? Because it sounds like you've got so many things on the go. You know, one of the first things they tell you as an entrepreneur is stay focused. Don't do too many things. I hear that all the time. And I'm like, yeah, but you know, just talking to you, Steve, has sparked off, you know, three or four different ideas thinking, hey, this would be a good idea for a business. Hey, but you do need to like niche down, right? And focus at some point.
Yeah. Well, I think it's, and that's a great question because, you know, I've been for that and against that, like focus on one thing, build that, you know, don't do too many things at once. But, you know, the realization I've come to is there, to me, there's three tiers. Like, you know, if you want to really build a big company and you want to go for the home run, I think what you have to do first as an entrepreneur is build a solid base, like a solid base of revenue that's going to take care of all of your, you know, your, if you have a mortgage or your expenses. So what does that? So we have a company called Cody Party Rentals. We've had it for 25 years. We call that our base. So if anything goes wrong, we've got our base.
Right.
Then you kind of build what I call is a lifestyle company. So think about Marketplace Studios. It's a service-based business, generates a lot of cash. So, and that can help pay for a lifestyle if we want it, but it can also pay to help build other opportunities, right? And then kind of that third phase is doing like the bunkings or the Rent Anything store. And if you can think about doing those kind of almost in a vertically integrated way where one helps the other one grow, that's where it kind of works. Does that make sense?
Totally. The one business kind of, you know, complements the other business, and it's a very clever way to do it. It really is.
Yeah, it's not like, it's not super random at all. So there's a lot of thought that goes into it, and it's, you know, a lot of it, like I like to think about, you know, other people say, well, you want to leverage other people's money. I think to me, it's a lot about leveraging other people's networks.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, bunking is a lot about that, right? Leveraging other people's networks. And anyway, so that's, we focus on looking for really good partners to work with and leveraging their networks and bringing that into what we have.
Steve, I want to talk a little bit about your website, and I see you put out a lot of content. You do some entrepreneurship videos yourself as well. You've obviously been interviewed a million and one times by different channels. What is raw entrepreneurship?
Yeah, well, we're just working through that. So, you know, it started a while back, and I just thought, there's too many, like there's so many people are talking about get rich quick, and they talk about all the great things, and I don't think that does entrepreneur any justice, and I don't think it's fair to people thinking about entrepreneurship. So I originally wanted to create like a platform and just have real discussions with people about their struggles or their successes or whatever it is, kind of uncut and really raw. And at some point thought about, you know, maybe building that into a community where people could help one another. And Bunking has kind of kicked that off. So we do these retreats, these entrepreneurial or like-minded retreats where we get people together, and there's just a huge impact in terms of helping people. And I don't know, I think it's not, we're not clearly defined yet in terms of what raw entrepreneurship is going to be. It was kind of going to be more of a like retirement project, but there's been a lot of people asking about getting involved in raw entrepreneurship, wanting to do more with it. So yeah, so the intent is to really to create a community for entrepreneurship. So that's not sugarcoated. Like it's raw entrepreneurship. It's about real entrepreneurship and the struggles and everything else that go along with it.
I mean, I went through a couple of videos as well. I obviously didn't watch all of them, but I mean, that came across before we spoke. It definitely came across. You know, the raw side of it. I like that, because there is every other teenager with his crypto wallet and his investment Amazon and whatever is you know, a multimillionaire. Like if you're not a multimillionaire by 25 these days, like it's just ridiculous. You know, I'm in my 40s and I'm not a multimillionaire yet, but you know, we keep on trying. Maybe they know something we don't. I just think that it's it's just clickbait, really. And I think there's such a lot of room for people like yourself to just tell the real story. This is what it's really like. This is what you should do, and we can help you do A, B, and C. You know, that's what people need. They need assistance. They need guidance. They need community.
Yeah, there's a real thirst for it, and I think there's a thirst for something really genuine and raw.
Yeah, no, I love what you're doing here with them. Okay, and then you also, obviously, you're blogging, you're doing a whole bunch of stuff, which is, and I say this with all the respect in the world, Steve, I mean, you've been in business for a long time. A lot of people your age aren't as active online and on social media. There's a lot of value there, and, you know, I'm a big believer in personal brand and building that. I mean, you've got a big following on LinkedIn, over 30,000 people. Why do you see all of this value here when maybe people, you know, your peers, your age, a lot of them don't?
Yeah, that's a great question. Never thought of it. Yeah, I think I just the power of it, you know, I think I've had 3 conversations with people out of Dubai this week. I'm in Ottawa, and Ottawa is a pretty conservative town. Like even if you get out to Calgary, it's a lot more entrepreneurial than Ottawa is. And then, you know, if you want to go down to Austin or most of the US, it's really entrepreneurial. But like talk to people in Saudi Arabia, in Dubai, you know, it's like unbelievably entrepreneurial. So, and like Zoom, Google Meets, it's crazy. You can go around the globe in a day, like half an hour at a time. And
it is
part of that is being active on social media, I think, and just getting yourself out there. And nothing may come out of the conversation, but you get to meet some pretty cool people.
No doubt. Yeah. And this is case in point. I never would have met you if I hadn't have, met Craig and found you as well on social. Like it connects people, and I see massive value in it as well. So I'll wrap it up here just with a couple questions. What advice would you give to a 25-year-old versus a 50-year-old or a 60-year-old starting a business?
Yeah, giving it to a young person would be a lot different than giving it to somebody who's been in the corporate world for quite a while, I think. If the 25-year-old, you know, there's no family or anything, it's like, first of all, you have to ask, what do you want out of it?
Yeah.
You know, if the 25-year-old really wants to hit a home run, like it's like, go for it, you know, but build your base, get your lifestyle, you know, those 3 tiers I talked about, I think I'd give that advice, because then you can really go for it. You know, I think a lot of them want generational wealth. They go on these seminars or these retreats or whatever, where the people are talking about how to make $1 billion or how to make $1 million. And I always say to people, I think before you can get there, you need to be comfortable with losing it all. Like you have to visualize, if you're not comfortable with losing it all, you're going to be too scared to gain it all. Mm-hmm. Right. So, you know, you're going to have that fear is going to hold you back. So I think that's then that's probably the older you get. So the bigger the dream, I think you got to get comfortable with losing it all before you can go for all of it, right? So anyways, it's a lot about people, entrepreneurship. Some people just want freedom. Some people, they just want to be able to travel. Some people want to go for home runs. So it's, you got to figure out what do you want out of it, and anything is possible, and just always find a way.
And, if you just look inward, when I looked at myself at 20 years old, I wanted to be a gazillionaire. I look at myself in my 40s and, I want freedom and time with my family.
Yeah.
So,
It changes, right? Exactly.
It changes as you go. Yeah. So, Steve, I really appreciate your time. If anybody gets any value out of this or would want to reach out to you or interact with you, your company, the people, the projects that you're involved in, you're up in Ottawa, but the internet makes the world small. How can they reach out to you?
Steve Cody on LinkedIn, best way to do it. Or Stephen Cody, Steven Cody, Cody.com. That's my website. And we can connect through there as well. Thank you very much. And thank you for your time.